Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff Malinoff, and with me is the Le'Veon Bell to my James Conner. I give you Mark Sousa.
That's right. Give me that new deal.
What new deal? As we will be talking
I'll get that new deal.
As we'll be talking about Le'Veon Bell not playing the whole rest of the season, as he did not check in to Steelers.
I know my worth.
As he did not check into the Steelers yesterday at the deadline, we will also be talking about the Mexico City problems with their field conditions and the official move of the Rams and Chiefs game. We will talk more about it later. Also, we will pick our coaches that will be on the hot seat at the end of the season in the NFL.
Or currently on the hot seat, right?
Maybe
their seats getting a little bit toasty this cold time of year.
Yeah, it is freezing in here. It's freezing in this room we're in this studio.
Yeah, we're so California people were upset.
I'm wearing a sweater and I'm still cold.
It's 60 and we're like, oh, it's cold.
Yeah, sorry, our bodies are used to a certain temperature.
Hey, I'm making fun of both of us here, so yeah. We're fine.
And there will be other some quirks in
college football.
College football. We'll look at the rankings there. The top 10 have not changed. Well, we will talk about any potential outsiders looking into the football playoffs that can squeeze their way into the playoffs.
And getting close to that end of the season.
Yes, and other news and notes of football we want to discuss will be for the final segment, of course. So we'll start off with Le'Veon Bell.
Great. I can't wait.
You want to start?
No, go ahead.
Le'Veon Bell did not check in yesterday at the deadline of checking into the Steelers organization and being eligible to play this season. He will not play the rest of the season, and this puts his Steelers career in jeopardy. My opinion, he will never wear a Steelers jersey again. What are your thoughts, Mark?
I would definitely say that. It would be a major upset if he plays for the Steelers again, at least next season, that's for sure. Maybe he comes back at the end of his career and plays like a season or something, but at this point, I think with this situation, the fans are obviously upset. The front office is upset too, because they chose to use a franchise tag, but, you know, it was something that they were afforded to use. They did. He doesn't report. I think they wiped their hands clean of Le'Veon Bell, and next year he plays for a different NFL football team.
Maybe they should call Agent 47, you know, hitman on him. No, they would never do that. But bottom line is, I think this really rubs the fans the wrong way, as people have been posting on Instagram and Twitter and all the social media of them burning their Le'Veon Bell jerseys, which is honestly just a waste of money.
And just, like, eye-rolling behavior. Like, come on. Who has time to go outside? Just, like,
a lot, apparently. Have you seen how many people burn their jerseys of anyone in the NFL?
It's like that trend. It's like NFL.
Colin
it's,
Kaepernick was one.
It's basketball. Tell me, LeBron jerseys have been burned in the last.
Yeah. Adrian Peterson's. Remember when he had the allegations against his beating his child?
Yes. Like,
those were burned, too.
At this point, it's just, it's not like there's no shock factor anymore. You know, like, if you're on social media and you're burning jerseys to get eyeballs to your page, to have a following.
Just the eyeballs, not the brain, just the eyeballs.
Like, cool, man, you burned a jersey. You're one of thousands of people that did it in the last 24 hours.
And wasted $130, $140 on it, too.
Yeah, why don't you just sell that jersey for, like, $30, you know, get $30 back from what you spent on it. I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, going into this season, fantasy football-wise, Le'Veon Bell was, on average, drafted to the second overall pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Worst fantasy football draft pick of all time.
Because he didn't play one game. Well, can you blame them for
Other players don't play, but they get hurt. But this was, like, actually not
injury related. He refused to play. And I think a lot of people thought he'd be back by the regular season, so they drafted him.
I mean, I think everybody thought that because, right, that's what happens. You hold out, and then you don't play for a few games. And then you're like, okay, well, he's not going to play till like, week six now. Okay, well he's not going to – wait, now he's not going to play at all? Like, yeah, what's going on?
But here? I think the question we need to ask ourselves is, what jersey will he be wearing by next season?
I think the overall favorite at this moment is Oakland, just because they have a huge need. Marshawn Lynch, we don't know about his health going forward.
Need for speed. Even though yeah. he's not very fast. But
great. We don't know about Marshawn Lynch and his status going forward because we know he's an older player. He already retired once. He's injured. Who knows if he's in this next year? And then the Raiders obviously have the cap space. So it could be a fit. And you know how John Gruden loves his veteran players. So a lot of people have said that they envision Le'Veon Bell being a Raider, an Oakland Raider, but a future Las Vegas Raider. I think we've seen other teams being talked about with cap space and possibly a need, like the 49ers, like the Green Bay Packers. It will be interesting to see who's in on Le'Veon Bell. I do want to mention, though, Jeff, a team that I really think that he could thrive in, I think would be scary good. The need mm-hmm. is there. The Houston Texans. If the Texans can get him in the offseason and have an offense of Watson, Le'Veon, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, and Demaryius Thomas, look out. Look out for that, because that would be pretty good.
The world would come to an end.
That would be a major shift, don't you think? Because the Texans are already good. They're already a good team.
Yes.
You add that caliber player, a top running back, one of the top four, top three running backs in the NFL.
They're a quietly good team, you know? Like, no one really talks about them.
And how good would they be if they could have a running back other than Lamar Miller? The guy, I mean, Lamar Miller, he's been a good pro, but he just offers very limited ability in that role. And Deshaun Watson next to a dynamic player like Le'Veon Bell, oh my goodness, where would defenses go?
The run option would take into a massive
Can you imagine the run-pass option where Watson fakes it to Le'Veon, pulls it back, stuns the defense, and they throw it over the top to DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I could see that happening 6-7 times a year. Just easy touchdowns.
6-7 like times a game.
Yeah, you would think they'd run that play like every 3 or 4 times.
6-7 a minute. 6-7 times a second. Sorry, getting carried away. But yes, Houston would be a great fit for him. Honestly, wherever he goes, he will fit like a glove, honestly. That's how I see it.
The biggest question is have teams who were interested in him, have they soured on him because of the recent actions? Him missing the season, will that change the mindset of 1, 2, 3 GMs who might have been all in on Le'Veon, might have been ready to give him the money that he was looking for? I think we'll find out. What do you think about that? Do you think it kind of hurts his market because of his decision to not play this season?
I will say this. Yes, I agree with you. Some GMs are probably now taking back what they thought, but there's still going to be one GM or two. They're going to be like, he's our guy. Let's pay the man.
So speaking of paying, let's talk about the numbers for a minute. So Le'Veon Bell forfeits $14.5 million this year by not playing, by not reporting. He obviously was losing money each game he sat out. So if he had reported this week, he would have earned about $6 million for the rest of the season. So he forfeits that. Now, we heard that the Steelers offered him a deal in the offseason that was 5 years, $70 million, with 17 of that 70 guaranteed. Now, he said no. And ultimately, what we heard was that he was looking for more in guarantees. He wanted guaranteed money because, as we know, as football fans and as sports fans, NFL contracts, compared to other sports, most of the time are non-guaranteed. Most of the money is non-guaranteed. We saw some different things happen in the last couple off seasons, but for the most part, these players are signing kind of like empty contracts, in my opinion. They're like year-to-year deals. Yes, they might say 5 years, but really they can get cut at any time. It doesn't really hurt the team.
Wouldn't you say with every contract in any sport?
But in like basketball or baseball, if you cut the player, you owe him the full amount. Mm-hmm. You have to pay him 100% of what you signed him for. So in football, you don't. Like, they could sign Le'Veon Bell to a $17 million contract and then ultimately only pay him like $20, $25 million and decide, oh, we're going to cut you.
You mean $70 million and only, you said $17
million. No, 17 because 17 is guaranteed. So what I'm saying, he could sign a $70 million
contract. How you put it sounded like he would get a $17 million contract and then get $25 million for it.
Well, I'm saying like after a season, right? Like you pay him the guaranteed money and then you pay him whatever a year salary, like $15, $10 million or something, and then move on. So it's, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I honestly kind of see his point though. If he's not going to sign, if he wanted more guaranteed money, we know the effects that football can have on humans, on their bodies. It makes sense that he would want a little bit more long-term guarantee.
Maybe we should have a robot football league so we don't have to worry about this anymore.
And, you know, he gets hit 30, 35 times a game pretty hard. You have to...
Well, like, you know how many times he got hit this season? That might help him in the long run?
It might. That's the question, right? Does the year off actually make a GM likelier to give him a bigger deal because he didn't get hit 400 times this year? Or does it make you wary of the fact that he hasn't played football? He has already played a lot of football in his career, in his life. Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder, hey, I haven't seen this guy play in over a year. I'm not so sure that I could pay him like he's a top five running back because I haven't seen him as a top five running back in over a year. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. That is a good point you're making. But again, there's going to be at least one GM.
There's always one, right?
That's going to take the risk. That's going to pay him what he wants.
Like people said, yeah, there's no way you can get a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. And then the Cowboys did it, and there's always one team out there.
There's always one crazy person.
So I guess we'll see where he goes. I kind of have a sneaky suspicion there's a team like Houston that will get into this mix. Maybe there's a team out there that doesn't have the cap space right now, but might be able to get the cap space by making some other moves. So we'll see. I did see that Big Ben had texted Le'Veon right before the deadline, and he didn't respond back to him.
Aw.
Do you think the Steelers players and coaches like Mike Tomlin, for example, are just happy that they can walk away? Like, they can move on and they don't have to answer questions about Le'Veon Bell any longer?
Because
every week they've been asked.
I think that is a relief, like, in situations where it's like, oh, we don't have to talk about this guy anymore. Like, we can go on with our lives type feel.
I mean, definitely Tomlin, for example. He's obviously annoyed every week.
He's sick and tired of this.
Yeah, so he can move on. Yeah, I think that they're actually happy that they can kind of wash their hands clean. Here's the only thing for me is that the unfortunate situation is that if the Steelers don't win the Super Bowl, let's say they lose in the playoffs, and James Conner has a mistake, like he fumbles the ball or he misses a block or he drops a pass that's a critical moment in the game. What's unfortunate for me is that the commentators, I guarantee you, will be saying,
Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon.
Well, if Le'Veon was here, maybe they win the Super Bowl, or maybe they win this game. You know, like, yeah. And you know it's going to happen, right? Even if they win that, you know, this game that we're talking about, this scenario that I'm playing here, even if they win, you know that's going to be said at some point in a big moment.
100%.
It's unfortunate because Connor's been great. He's been everything.
Yeah, but you're comparing him to a guy who's had arguably a terrific career, and arguably one of the best running backs they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have to be compared, which is not fair.
At this point,
Steve Young was compared to Joe Montana. That's not very fair.
At this point, Connor has actually exceeded Bell in some regards, but you're right. It's going to be one of those things where when that good game doesn't happen for Connor in that key moment, right? Like, it's going to be brought up. And I just think that's unfortunate. And I know that we'll be rolling our eyes at the TV when we hear that by the commentator. So yeah, that's kind of my take on it.
My take is about the same. Like, what are you going to do with this guy like this? Like, he's not a hothead per se, but I would put him more as like a nuisance. Like, especially with all this stuff that's been going on.
Yeah,
like,
he's been a nuisance for the Stewards this year for sure.
Yeah, but like, I think the age-old question is he a nuisance that when you have him, you're still like, okay, this is the guy that's going to be the best. He's worth the headache.
Do you
get what I'm getting at?
There's no question. Le'Veon Bell at his best, he's one of the best running backs of his, like, since he's been in the league, if not the best running back since he's been in the league. Like, he's in that conversation. So, you know, it's one of those things where if Le'Veon Bell plays on a new team next year, they won't care as long as he's helping them win games. He's not going to hold out, obviously. He'll sign a new deal with wherever he goes. Whoever he plays for, they'll have paid him. They'll have given him a contract that he likes and that he will sign. That was his issue with the whole franchise tag, is that he is looking for long-term security, which a franchise tag does not afford you. And I know people are out there saying, it's $14 million. I would kill for $14 million. I would do anything for $14 million. Yes. But we have to look at things in perspective. What do you do for a living? Who do you work for? Is there another company that wants you? Are you being compensated fairly based on what you do for your company in that position?
So you're looking at more along lines of like, who's your boss rather than what you're doing? Like, can your boss afford to pay you that much? Is that what you're getting at?
Right. It's just one thing that bothers me is when people are like, oh man, he's selfish, he's greedy, but like, this man is looking out for his long term. And you know what? Yeah. You know what, Jeff? We're in football. Like, if this was another sport, like if it's baseball or basketball, that's different. But we are literally in a sport where we know for a fact that football players live shorter lives than every other athlete. And a lot of it has to be because of the amount of punishment those bodies take, the amount of head hits. How many concussions has Le'Veon Bell had that have been reported and unreported in his life in football? He plays running back a ton. Yeah. We know this. We know the guy, you know, and obviously we wish well for everybody, but we know that a lot of times these players, they don't live to see 75, 80 years old. So he's looking out like, hey, if I'm going to lose years of my life doing this and doing the sport that I love, I hope that my family is well taken care of for generations to come. So that's kind of my feeling about it.
Yeah, I think everyone can understand that that aspect of it. But I think people really don't look at it like that.
No, they look at it with their bank account, right? Like, you're like, oh my God, if I had $1 million, like I would, you know.
We want to keep our viewers, so take it easy a little bit before we get into trouble.
No, it's just one of those things where it's
he's just kidding, folks. He's not kidding.
It's one of those things where if you work and you're making $20 an hour, like if you think you're worth 30, you're going to ask for it, and you might leave that job and go to another one because somebody else will pay you. Right? It happens. Yes. It's life. So,
yes. But do you want anything else to say? I think I let you.
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Are you good?
I'm good, man.
Right. Breathe.
I love it.
Take a deep breath.
I love it.
Okay, good.
I'm going to hang out with Le'Veon later. We're going to go jet skiing.
Yes, because he loves to visit this nowhere city in California.
We're going
to
go ride our jet skis and talk about,
you're watching this, Le'Veon. Hi. How are you?
Talk about the people burning our jerseys on Instagram.
We have jerseys?
Oh, yeah.
Why wasn't I ever told of this?
I for sure have one.
We're both hosts. Why don't I have one?
I mean, you just got to get a better agent, probably.
I need to make some calls. But yeah. Until then, we should take a break.
Yeah, we should do that. On our break, you can make calls. We'll be right back. But before we go to a break, Jeff, I want to talk to you about the holidays that are coming up. I love this time of year. Are you a fan of the holidays?
Oh, who's not a fan of the holidays?
I know, right? Maybe like the Grinch. Yeah, the Grinch.
They're making another movie of that, but continue.
You know what, though? I think some people turn into the Grinch on the holidays because of the frustrations of shopping for loved ones. It's always a tough thing to do. It's always something that you look forward to, having those holiday meals, hanging out with the family, you know, around the fire and stuff like that, and you're having a good time hanging out. But The frustrations of holiday shopping can always get to us. For me, Jeff, the guys in my family are the hardest to shop for. I think my father, it's always like I'm asking my mom, hey, what do we get Dad this year? He has everything. Do you have that frustration too?
If I had a nickel for every time I said that, I would have like 23 nickels because I've said that every year of my life.
And the other thing too is my dad's birthday is 2 days after Christmas. So we kind of have to double
really?
Up.
That's
it
tough.
Is.
That's tough.
Yeah. So it's really tough. Well, I think that I found the gift for him this year because my father, I think like most fathers, they like practical gifts, right? They like things that they can use, tools around the house, things like that. And I don't know about your father, Jeff, but my dad loves to shave. He shaves pretty much every other day, I would say. What about yours?
He keeps his face nice and smooth.
Yeah. So, you know, with guys, like, we have to shave constantly. We got to keep looking good. There is a product out there that can help us with that at a cheap price. We're looking for long-lasting shaving products that, you know, we don't have to spend an arm and a leg on, right? We have other things that we're spending money on for the holidays. Well, a practical gift for Dad that he'll actually use, and this gift has a 100% quality guarantee. As a special offer for the fans of the GSMC podcast, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including our limited edition holiday sets, when you go to harrys.com/GSMC football. Plus, you'll get free shipping. This offer is for new and returning customers and is only available for the holidays. Each Harry's shaving set comes with an ergonomic weighted handle with an option to engrave. German-engineered 5-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave. Foaming shave gel for a rich lather. A travel cover to protect your blades. And it comes in a handsome holiday gift box. And Jeff, I think we both can say, this gift box looks great. So, this is awesome. Do you just want something for yourself? Maybe you already have your father already, you know, picked out his gift. Redeem a Harry's trial offer to experience quality of shave before committing. Now, get your holiday shopping done early. Free shipping ends on December 12th, so act now. Go to harrys.com/GSMC football and get a $5 off coupon to any shave set while supplies last. Again, folks, that's harrys.com/GSMC football.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We just finished talking about the Le'Veon Bell situation that's been going on in the NFL. So now we're going to go to another issue the NFL is actually having with a certain aspect of the game called Mexico City Chiefs versus Rams. Probably one of the biggest games of the year so far.
Yeah, maybe the biggest, yeah.
And their field conditions in Mexico City are, how you say, subpar.
Mm-hmm. I saw the images online. You see those?
The divots inside, like, you can easily, like, hurt yourself on this field.
Yeah, it didn't look like a field in a solid condition, that's for sure. So they're moving the game, huh?
Yes, they are moving the game to Los Angeles, so the Rams are getting home field advantage in this game against the Chiefs. let me ask you, do you think this was the correct move, or do you think this was maybe pulling the trigger a little too early on this?
I think that it's not the right move, if I'm being completely honest. I say this because we know the NFL likes to expand. They've played games in England. They do this every year. They've now played a game in Mexico City from year to year. And yes, I saw the field conditions, and yes, they looked very poor. But I think, like, you know what? It was Tuesday when they made this change. You got 6 days to make the field look better, and I get it. Like, you're dealing with grass. It takes time. But for me, I think the NFL could have done enough in this time. I know that the argument becomes, who's responsible for the field? Is it the stadium? Is it the NFL? I think the NFL could have done probably more to get this field at a suitable playing level, but I think it's the wrong move, moving this game. I just think that a lot of people made travel arrangements. You know, Rams fans, we've already seen reports of Chiefs and Rams fans who are obviously upset because they decided to make a whole trip out of this, a whole week out of it, going on vacation, you know.
It's a vacation time as well.
Right, right. And going to Mexico, where it's a little bit warmer this time of year than here in the States. You can see why a fan in Kansas City would like to make that trip, get out of the cold, go into a warmer climate for a few days. So I just think that it's a bad move for the NFL, and I think it sets a bad precedent. What do you think?
I agree with the bad precedent, but I can understand from looking at the pictures of the field, I don't think this could get done in a week, to be honest with you. That's how bad the field is to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more lines of like, for a game of this caliber, you got to make sure everything's perfect. This is the biggest game of the year before the Super Bowl, of course, and the playoffs. Biggest regular season game of the year, if I am so bold to make. But it's the two best teams in the NFL, or arguably the two best teams in the NFL, going head to head in a major 100,000 seat stadium. If that's not up to par, why risk going there if your players just step in a divot or step in a bad area of the field and hurt their ankle or hurt their back or hurt their shoulder, mm-hmm. you know? I think it's more of a safety thing than anything else, but I also see the fact of you're really costing Mexico fans, people from Mexico that are fans of the NFL,
mm-hmm.
a chance to see live football. And there's guarantee there are probably a lot of people in the area that were super psyched about this. They were super looking forward to seeing NFL football.
Mm-hmm.
And now they lost that chance. They got it taken away from them.
It is very unfortunate. You made an interesting point that I kind of wanted to ask you a little bit more about.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you think it's a player safety issue. And I don't disagree with that at all. My follow-up to that is, if it's a player safety issue, are we going to start seeing teams postpone games or move games in current NFL stadiums if the field conditions are subpar? Let's say, I don't know, Los Angeles, for example. They play in the Coliseum. Let's say that field gets torn up because of all the football that goes on there. Are we going to start seeing them change games for current NFL stadiums who are not at the level if their grass isn't up to par?
Because
that's where I was going with the whole precedent thing, is that like if you're gonna cite poor field conditions, the NFL players play in a lot of poor field conditions in current NFL cities.
Well, the thing is with this particular field, this is worse than any other field I've seen in the NFL. And they're not taking care of it as a priority like NFL teams do. See what mm-hmm. I'm getting at?
I see.
And I think that was a main thing. Like, you better have a huge football-like staff to care about this and fix this, or else we're not playing. And they were like, well, you just maybe have to play with the punches. You already are playing here. You already announced it. You already advertised it big time. So maybe just take it like a man type of thing. And they called their bluff and said, you know what? We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
This is just a theory, of course.
Yeah, and it's an interesting conversation. I don't think any of us can be right or wrong here. It's just we're kind of looking at mm-hmm. the future. But, you know, NFL players play in all kinds of weather conditions where the field can be, quote-unquote, not safe, right? Like, if it's, like, torrential downpour and there's water on the field and players are slipping and possibly breaking their leg, possibly breaking their ankle because of the surface quality, it just makes you think, like, would this be a problem, or would the NFL change the location if this was Los Angeles and not Mexico City?
The thing is, I think because, like, there's already LA Rams stuff all over the stadium in LA, that it was easy to move. If this was in London, they could probably...
Yeah, it's supposed to be a Rams home game, right? So
yeah. And they couldn't do it if it was in London because the travel would be too much for the players. And I think because Mexico City is relatively close to LA, I know it's in the middle of this country, but in all purposes, it's closer to LA than
London.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's why it was just a convenient way of saying, hey, we can go back to the States, no problem, no big deal.
Yeah, it's interesting, but we'll see what happens from here on out. It's just funny to me because if it's a player safety thing, I think, like, okay, well, what about when, you know, the USC Trojans tear up the field and the Rams are playing the Cardinals, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, okay, we'll see what happens. But
I mean, I guess they could play in, like, the Rose Bowl if they have to. Like, and honestly, this is all honesty. Like, the Rose Bowl is, like, relatively close to the Coliseum, so it could work technically, but... In all aspects of the matter, like, maybe, I don't really know. You know, it's a delicate issue.
Yeah. So how about we talk about coaches who might be looking for jobs?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay. So we'll talk about the coaches that we feel are that are on the hot seat. Maybe our top three. Jeff, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. My number one is Todd Bowles.
Okay.
And do I really need to explain this?
No. Because Jets coach.
He's been struggling this whole season. He has talent around him. The Jets defense is actually really talented and really it can be really good. But they seem to be lacking something, and that has to... I don't know what that lacking is, but you can tell there's something lacking. And that goes to the coach. You got to know how to make your team better. And like with Kyle Shanahan, for example, he has... No, a lot of undrafted and fifth-round draft picks, and he's making them into a fighting team. Like, they're competing still against talented... Like, the Giants were a bunch of first-round selections against undrafted selections, and they held their ground. Mm-hmm. So, in all aspects, that's how a coach should operate. Like, make everything they can and make it better for everybody. Todd Bowles doesn't know how to do that, it feels like. He doesn't know how to make everyone better and play their best. He's not a motivator. He's not a strategic guy.
I think that if he wasn't on the hot seat, he is after this last week's performance against the Bills.
41-10, yeah.
You just said something. He's a defensive guy, and your defense allows Matt Barkley to put up 41 points on you.
And his defense is not a bad team. That's not a bad defense in the slightest.
And, you know, this might be... unfortunate, but I think that because he's a defensive head coach and they just drafted a quarterback, I think that makes it more likely that a coaching change will happen because they want to bring in a guy who will mold that young quarterback, right? So mm-hmm. I also have him on this list. He is my number three. I actually have him tied at number three. I have four people on this list because I couldn't decide. My other person that I have tied with Todd Bowles on the hot seat is Dirk Cutter. From
okay.
Tampa Bay.
I'm aware.
Now...
I think that's just lack of talent around him, though. The Tampa Bay doesn't have as much talent as the... I know I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Jets have a lot of talent.
That may be true, but Dirk Cutter's been there for a few years now. It doesn't look like it's going in the right direction. Now, it could be his fault or not his fault. The Jameis Winston pick did not work out, and a lot of times that gets coaches fired when they miss... on quarterbacks that high, that gets coaches fired. If Ryan Fitzpatrick can win a few more games for Dirk Cutter, it might save his job. But if not, if they finish with four wins, I think that he's gone. I just really do. I'm not sure, though.
And that would not break the heart of anyone in Tampa Bay. I think they want to the fans at least want to change in a coach as well. Someone maybe a little more, I don't know, has a name for himself, more mm-hmm. maybe more someone with more experience or someone like because it just seems like he's not as experienced as he should be in the NFL to be an NFL coach. Maybe he needs more experience. Maybe he needs mm-hmm. just a better way of looking at things. But maybe it is you're right. Maybe it is time to move on to another coach and see what he can do with the team.
So who's your number two?
You're going to be shocked by this.
Go ahead,
Frank Reich, first year coach. Yes.
For the Colts?
Yes.
Wow, I am absolutely floored. Go ahead.
You remember how he started the season? Very questionable calls.
Yes.
I think this was at the beginning a temporary let's see what he can do thing. And because he's never had experience as a head coach before. And yes, he's been doing relatively decent with the Colts after those questionable decisions. But I do think his seat's still a little warm because of his actions at the beginning of the season, because I don't think those are going to be forgotten. If they don't make the playoffs and it's because of those key games that he missed at the beginning of the season, I don't see why he won't be fired.
It's first year.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying like there's a lot of coaches that have been fired first year.
Nah, it's usually at least 2-3 years, but
Chip Kelly.
Yes, there have been some.
Boom. Face. But you're getting what I'm, you see what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah. But the Colts and the, you're talking about Chip Kelly at the 49ers, and that was completely different. The Niners were a franchise in turmoil. The Colts, they have their quarterback. They're heading in the right direction. I mean, they certainly are heading in the right direction.
But we both know that the front office of the Colts are relentless. They can be very cold.
That's true, but they did hire him. It's not like there was a change in general manager, where maybe the current GM is not his guy as head coach. But I mean, I am surprised. I'll tell you my number.
I had to go with an unusual, because I feel like we would have had the same coaches.
My number two is John Harbaugh. It sounds like the writing's already on the wall. Yeah. It sounds like he won't be back.
He's tied with my number three.
So Harbaugh, for me, he will be out. What I think he'll last the season because he's respected in Baltimore. I don't think it'll be like a divorce. I think it'll just be a they
part ways. It sounds
like
he's already accepted it.
Yeah, so I see Harbaugh leaving, especially with their... It sounds like Flacco will probably not be back either. He's suffering from a hip injury. That could be major. So who's your last one?
Well, again, I'm defending my rank Frank Reich because we wanted something different in our picks. But Mike McCarthy is my third with John Harbaugh.
Yeah, he's my favorite for coach to be fired. Again, he probably will last season.
Yeah. He probably will last the season, but by as soon as the season ends, as soon as week 17 comes and goes, he's done.
It just seems like over the last couple of years that Rodgers has been a little bit critical of, I guess, management. So
McCarthy has been coached long enough. Time to give someone else the reins.
Yeah, and honestly, I kind of feel like his tenure has been unsuccessful.
Well, he did win a Super Bowl.
He did, but...
And he did have 1 year with 15-1 team.
But if you had 10 years...
But that 15-1 team did lose in the divisional round to the eventual Super Bowl champion, New York Giants.
He did win a Super Bowl. But I feel like if you only win a Super Bowl in 10-plus years with Aaron Rodgers, I feel like it's a little bit of a letdown. Like, there should be two or three in that time period. I don't know. That's just me. I'm not saying that it's completely his fault. But I have been critical of his calls in big games, and I've never felt that he was one of the better coaches in the NFL. I just think that if Aaron Rodgers had another head coach, it might get them over the top.
I have one more that you will not expect.
Go ahead.
Bill Belichick. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He will, when he is fired, he will die.
What if Brady went to Kraft and said, it's him or me?
That's
tough.
Boy. Wow. I gotta go Tom.
I mean, God.
It's like Sophie's Choice.
What if it was
two of your children on the ledge begging for help, and you had to say you can only save one of them in time?
Oh, God. Come on, man. It's holiday season. We don't need to talk about
that. Sophie's Choice. Have you ever read that book?
I know, but I'm saying, like, people are in, you know, cheery spirits.
Okay. You had to choose one children to give a gift to. The other one
Oh,
lives.
God.
All right. Being a little harsh here, but... Should we take a little break?
Yes.
Well, good, because I want to talk about a certain holiday season gift that you should give for your men in your life, because, you know, those are the hardest to get for your dad, for your brothers, for your uncles, for your father's brothers, nephews, cousins, former roommate. And I have a solution. Harry's. Harry's makes a long-lasting quality product at a super reasonable price. German-engineered blades for as low as $2 each, and you could personalize it to make them feel special. Choose a color that's right for him, now with limited edition holiday handles. We actually have our own holiday-handled gifts, and they look really cool, so I would recommend them totally. And they get personal engraving options, so that's really cool as well. As a special offer for fans of this show, the GSMC Football Podcast, we partner with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including our limited edition holiday sets. When you go to harrys.com/GSMC football, you will get that, plus you'll get free shipping. This offer for new and returning customers, and is only available for the holidays. Grinder, only available for the holidays. Each Harry's shaving set comes with an ergonomic weighted handle with an option to engrave, German-engineered 5-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, a travel cover to protect your blades, and a handsome holiday gift box. Or you just want something for yourself? Redeem a Harry's trial offer to experience the quality of shave before committing. Get your holiday shopping done early. Free shipping ends on December 12th, so act now. Go to harrys.com/GSMCfootball to get $5 off a shave set while supplies last. That's harrys.com/GSMCfootball.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We just finished talking about our coaches in the hot seat and the Mexico City issues. Now, we are moving on to the world of college football. We have top rankings in the college football playoff. We had a new one, but nothing changed in the top 10. So, nothing really big in the matter of who jumped where and who has a chance to do what. But I need to ask you. In the top 10, we see, obviously, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan in the four. But 5 through 10, we see Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, Washington State, West Virginia, and Ohio State. Do you see any of these teams jumping from their spots and making a surprise appearance in the college football playoff?
I do. I do. Well, I think there is one team that really has a chance now.
Washington State, got it. So all due respect to Washington State, you're just very unexpected at number 8 is all.
So I know that Georgia's at 5, but I think that they will lose to Alabama. I just don't see Alabama getting upset before the national championship or maybe the college football playoff, but
do you see
not
them just
in the
winning
SEC.
The whole thing type of thing? So you're saying they're going to beat Georgia?
Yeah, I just see, like, when we look at the 5 through 10, I would say that the team that has the most opportunity would not be Georgia, would not be Oklahoma, would not be LSU, would not be Washington State, will not be West Virginia. It will actually be Ohio State. I think they have the best opportunity.
And I think a reason for that, I agree with you, and the reason for that is they're one of the, like, grandfathers of the game. They're the most beloved and the most highly touted in the world of college football.
That and the opportunity. And the opportunity is they can win their conference. They will also have to beat Michigan to win the conference. And Michigan is a current playoff team. So the opportunity is there for them to win big games and to kind of catapult them into the top four, mm-hmm. it would also take out Michigan. So they would swap at that in this example. I just see that they have the most opportunity. They have the opportunity to get in the top four, where I don't necessarily see that from the other teams that are ahead of them in the top 10, unless one of those teams like Clemson, Notre Dame, or Alabama loses, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Well, there's like there's some of these games where like maybe, just maybe, Alabama loses a Citadel. I can't say that with a straight face.
To the Citadel?
To the Citadel, yeah. But like, but that's like what I'm trying to make a point is like there's been so many situations in the college football world where you don't expect a team to lose and be right there in the national championship. Then boom, next thing you know, they're done. They're out.
All it takes is one bad game, right?
One bad game. And it could happen at any time. And that's the beauty of college football, of course. But like, you never know when, well, Alabama is going to be Citadel. I think we already accepted that. But like Notre Dame versus Syracuse, number 3 versus number 12, like
that's a big game.
That could go either way. Or number 4 Michigan versus Indiana, that could happen as well. Or Georgia loses their chance at being the national championship game in the playoffs because they lose to UMass in week 12. Like, you know, like, or Clemson loses to Duke. Like, I know these sound kind of ridiculous on paper, but they could happen. These are possibilities. These are, well, not the Citadel.
I think
due respect to the Citadel, I didn't even know you were a school until I saw you on the schedule for Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Alabama's paying you a lot to play this game. I really do.
I'll say that LSU is out because they can't win the conference.
No, I don't see
they
them
can't win either. The SEC, so They're done.
West Virginia is playing number 6 Oklahoma on week 13, so they could have a chance to squeeze in, but they will need some other teams. They would need like Michigan to lose to Ohio State. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, there's some other aspects, like, or Auburn beating Alabama, just so like things could change, switch up. But like, or like Notre Dame losing to USC in week 13 is a possibility. I know USC is not doing very well right now, but they're still USC.
They still have a lot of star caliber athletes,
yes, absolutely.
Right?
And, you know, West Virginia can, if they beat Oklahoma, they can squeeze their way in. Or Oklahoma can still squeeze their way in. Like, there is so many different options for the college football playoff that it is not set in stone right now, not by a long shot.
Yeah, I agree with that. The only issue is that Michigan, I think that Clemson and Alabama will be undefeated.
They have an easy schedule going into their championship games.
So let's assume that those two teams are undefeated, okay? And mm-hmm. they're 1-2. Then you got Notre Dame, Michigan. I think it's definitely possible that Notre Dame and Michigan will lose a game, especially Michigan, because they play Ohio State. Now, Notre Dame has a big game against Syracuse. Nothing to take away from them there. But Ohio State hosts Michigan, and Urban Meyer has a history of beating Jim Harbaugh. So that could absolutely happen. Notre Dame could lose to Syracuse, but they also have this game at home. I see them winning that game. It might not be pretty, but they don't need it to be pretty. They just need to get a win. So,
and you're looking at Clemson's road.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the ACC. You know who's second in the ACC? Pittsburgh. Not Syracuse, but Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh has the better conference
record.
And then
Clemson plays Duke this week, right?
Yeah, well, Duke has one of the top prospect quarterbacks in the league at the moment for draft purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know in that circumstance. But Pittsburgh, if they face them in the ACC title game, I don't see them losing that.
No, it's a wrap. Clemson's going to go to the playoff. Whether they get to the national championship and win remains to be seen. But they're not going to lose in the next couple weeks. They're just not yeah, in my opinion. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either.
They're just too well coached, man. Like Dabo Swinney is a very, very good football coach, and I don't see them letting down.
Yeah, there's just do you think there's a problem with the scheduling sometimes? Like sometimes like. Teams get really easy schedules to end the season, and they maybe they overestimate themselves.
I think there probably should be some sort of rules put in place where, like, after week 4 or 5, like, you can't schedule somebody that's... I don't know how the wording would go, but, for example, like, I don't think Alabama should be able to play Citadel in week, 11 of college football season? Like, come on. Like, and I don't know. Like, I don't, it's just one of those things where it's like, what are we doing here? Like, that's not a real game, right? Like, that's not a test for Alabama. And I know some Alabama fans might say, well, you know, we didn't have a conference game this week, and that's who was available. Okay, well, I think there can be adjustments. I think adjustments can be made where we won't see Alabama play Citadel when we're talking about who's in and who's out in the college football playoffs. It's just kind of a, it's kind of a disgrace to me. What do you think?
Disgrace is a strong word.
It's just a disgrace that that can be a game in this juncture of the season. That's a preseason game. Like, that's a week one, week two, let me go beat this team by 60
it's a tune-up,
points.
It's a tune-up game.
Yeah, but we're
which
too
should
far.
Not be that, yeah.
We're
I
too
think
far
I,
in the season.
I 100% agree with you. We are too far for a game like this where Alabama should be facing, like, I don't know, what would be a good team to
well,
play?
Well, even if it wasn't an SEC opponent, at least a team in, like, maybe a major conference, or maybe a team...
Or an independent, like, or, like, you know, like, why not face Washington State or Kentucky or, you know what I mean? Just, like, there, I feel like there's more options than Citadel. All due respect to Citadel. I'm sure it's a lovely school, nice people, lovely, but facing Alabama, the dynasty of this generation for college football, like the Miami of the 90s is this like 2010s like Alabama.
I have a question for you. Where is the Citadel located?
At the Citadel?
Where is this school? What city and state?
Isn't there like a Star Wars place called the Citadel?
Where? What city and state does this team play in?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Charleston, South Carolina. I had to look it up. I didn't know. Yeah.
Okay, so it kind of makes sense because they're both in the South.
That's like where the comparisons end, probably.
Yeah, and they both and they both have letters in their school names. That's about it.
Yeah. All right.
Again,
well,
I don't want to trash Citadel. I'm sure if it's an awesome school, but for football against the best team in the nation for the last, what, decade?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not fair.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not fair, but it was the wrong time to do it. It was the wrong time to have this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So what do you say we take a break and we come back? We'll wrap this up. We have some news and notes around the NFL, and we also have a interesting running back college recruit who has chosen his school. We'll talk about that when we return.
Ooh, drama.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
And welcome back to the GSMT Football Podcast. We just finished talking about the college football playoff, and I'll slow down talking. Anyways, we're talking about the college football playoffs. Now we are moving on.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Talk about playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
We gotta win a game. Playoffs.
Okay, anyways, continuing. We're going to do other news and notes of football world-like stuff, and you have a certain college recruit that's one of the top in the nation, do you, Mark?
Yes, I do. But before I get to before I get to that, I wanted to talk about the New York Jets for a moment, because we just talked about Todd Bowles.
Yeah, what's up? Did he get fired?
No, but Jamal Adams... star safety for the team, top draft pick. He was on a radio show in that area, and
was it this morning?
It was.
Okay.
And he was very critical of the situation, and he said he was being asked a question about how last year the team was losing and if anything's changed there, and he said, honestly, I could sit here and sugarcoat everything, but things have not changed. Obviously, we're still losing. I'm not saying we have guys like that in our locker room. But at the same time, it's not changing. It hasn't changed. We're still losing. At the end of the day, we're going to get it fixed. The sun will shine. So, interesting comments by Jamal Adams as he talks about the struggles and the frustrations of this season for the Jets. We just talked about Todd Bowles, so I thought that was an interesting piece of news.
It is an interesting piece of news. It's kind of ironic since we just finished talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, you were mentioning... a number one running back recruit in high school football, the number 14 overall recruit in the country, John Emery. He committed to Georgia, but yesterday he decommitted from Georgia, and he has now given his allegiance to his in-state team, LSU. So he will stay in the...
Why didn't he do that before?
I'm not sure what changed his mind. But he will stay in his state of Louisiana and play for the Tigers. So, number 14 recruit overall, number one running back. Do you think that's a big get for LSU?
Definitely. I mean, if you get the number one running back in the nation, yeah, that's big. If you get someone in the top 20 ranked-wise, you're doing something good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, LSU's always going to get someone of that high caliber because of their legendary just legacy.
So LSU had the number 9 ranked recruiting class prior to this, to Emery pledging his allegiance to the Tigers. They now have 10 in the ESPN 300 and 12 four-star recruits, and now they add Emery into this, so... That's a big get for LSU. I want to talk about Terrell Pryor of the Buffalo Bills. He has been cut 2 weeks after signing with the Bills. Some people thought he was Some people thought he was signing to actually play quarterback because of...
I didn't think that at all. I think they just needed a wide receiver, a speed guy.
Well, it was at the time when Anderson was hurt and they had Peterman, so it was like...
Yeah, but again... He hasn't played quarterback in, what, 4 or 5 years?
It's been a while, yeah.
It's been a while.
Are you, does it surprise you that Terrell Pryor hasn't been able to, you know, land, to, like, thrive on a team?
He's had some good moments with certain, with multiple teams. Yeah, it's kind of surprising, but, you know, we've seen this before where a journeyman has a couple of good years with different teams and we expect him to stay in one place, but in reality... He's just that. He just has a once in a while good, has a solid season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's sad, but it's true.
You know, he had that big season with the Browns, and yeah, you're right. Like, he's, you know, bounced around. He's been with, what, the Redskins, the Jets, and now the Bills, and now we'll see. It's just surprising because he did have that breakout season, so we'll see where he lands. I'm just surprised that he hasn't kind of been... a bigger deal since his time in Cleveland passed, but I guess we'll see. Did you see that Bobby Petrino was fired by Louisville?
I did, and that doesn't...
Surprise you, huh?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, really rough go at it with Louisville. Do you think he lands at another D1 school, or what do you think
at this juncture? I think he's the Dunsies.
Maybe if he still wants to coach, he'll get like a job elsewhere.
No, he just has a bad legacy, so I think that's gonna hurt him.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, well, that's all I got for news and notes. in the world of football.
Well, I've been enjoying talking about football, but that is all the time we have for today. We are perfectly on time. We've reached the hour mark. About to be. I'm stalling to hit that hour mark. But thank you so much for joining us today. Tune us in tomorrow where we continue our football podcast as we preview the Thursday night football matchup that is happening. We won't tell you who's playing, but we'll tell you tomorrow to keep your excitement and keep your suspense at a all-time high. And again, I'm Jeff Malinoff. That is Mark Souza. Tune us in for other podcasts of the GSMC podcast, such as sports, basketball, baseball, soccer, fantasy football, you name it, we do it. Please tune us in next time, and we will see you at that time. Peace.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.